ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. I hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you for asking.
Well, you usually are, and I like that. I like your attitude.
Oh, you have to be. You have to be. Anyway, gold was good today. Gold was happy today. Well, not real happy, but in the New York spot price, we're still up $1.30 at $1,726. Silver's up 3 pennies at $1,750. Platinum was up $6 at $822. Palladium was up $4 at $1,984. The USDX today was stronger by 0.39, 97.04. Crude oil was up 0.99 at 38.11. The paper markets today, they were, no pun, they were on a tear. The paper markets, 535 points to the upside, 26,299. The NASDAQ was up 147 points at 9,800. They just changed it on me. The NASDAQ is up 163 at 9,889. The S&P was up 57 at 3,123. I guess we didn't use up enough time in the beginning, and I'm a little early on the reports here because they just had changed. 10-year yield, 0.76%, up 0.05. Japan was up almost 5%. You know, everything else, Germany was up 3.5%. London was up 3, Hong Kong was up 2.5. So everybody liked the Federal Reserve's commitment to buy individual corporate bonds yesterday. So, yeah, that's a good thing. We're going to help the world. They didn't say they'd just keep, they didn't give any criteria for which bonds they were going to buy, what corporate bonds they were going to buy. So I'll bet a few of them were probably foreign, maybe. So, yeah, our money is being shared far and wide. Thank you very much. So, it's a good day in the neighborhood.
We can afford it. We can afford it. You know, no big deal. We can afford it. Give him a trillion or two. You know, don't worry about it.
Oh, I know. And here's something. We're going to talk about the retail numbers. U.S. shoppers returned, with passion in May. You have, they ramped up their spending by a record 17.7% from April to May. And, of course, if you're shut in the house for 3 months and you get out, yeah, you might be doing some major purchasing by then. But the government's report showed that consumers' retail purchases have retraced some of the record-setting month-to-month plunges of March, which was 8.3%, and April was 14.7%. But the damage to retailers still remains pretty severe. Purchases are still down 6.1% from a year ago. So again, everybody is, that was part of the gain today, was that number. And they're still tacking on the May employment gain of 2.5 million jobs, even though pretty much we've been told it's a lie. It's been miscalculated. But still, no one really seems to care. We know we had the Federal Reserve, and we've got the government, Washington, D.C., willing to print trillions of dollars just to keep the system going and to stimulate the economy, and no one really seems to care.
Well, you know, Melody, with the retail sales almost 18% jumping up in May, obviously the stimulus that people got has been spent.
Sure.
On this, I'm sure. And a lot of them did get called back to work finally, so maybe they feel more optimistic, and they maybe buy a little more things also. But how long will this last? We'll still have massive unemployment, still have people that are waiting and hoping the jobs come back, and some of them, millions, won't come back because the business is shut down. How long will this record, this 17.7% jump, last? I don't think very long. through this month, maybe. I doubt it, because in May they got their bonuses, and you know, and then boom, they're going. I mean, $1,200 isn't a lot of money nowadays. That's all I can say. It isn't. That's a couple of house payments, maybe, or a car payment or two, but they spend it, and now it's spent. Now what?
Now what? Well, you know, when you think about $1,200, but you're looking at $3 trillion of rescue money that the federal government gave to companies and individuals.
That's it, yes.
I mean, $3 trillion, yeah, that should spur a little bit of spending. I mean, look what these businesses had to do to reopen. Look at the money they had to spend in order to change things around so that they would be COVID ready, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, businesses, restaurants had to change their outside seating. You know, I mean, so, yeah, there was a lot of money spent in order for a business to reopen, in order for retail purchases to return to their level before the pandemic. They're going to have to surge by an additional 9%. And, you know, that very well may be, but again, under what circumstances? You're going to have more trillions of dollars to the rescue by the federal government to keep it going? And then you're right.
Well,
when there is no more, what happens then?
Well, Pelosi wants to put in $30 trillion more. I mean, you know.
Sure, that wasn't a typo.
I don't think so. But I don't care whether it's $30 trillion or 30 million. They don't have it. But the numbers, as you said before, the numbers mean nothing anymore. No one pays attention to it. So what? They put in $33 trillion, $30 trillion, or what difference does it make? It's nothing but credit, and it's going to collapse anyway. So, for a brief period, Mel, it's like you go out and get you a bottle of wine and get high, and you feel good for a few hours. The next day, you get a hangover. This is what's going to happen. It's going to feel good for a little while, and then you're going to have a heck of a headache when this thing is over. You know that.
Absolutely.
It's coming to that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was going to get this article later, but I'll share it now. I'm going to find it real quick. This is from some of the things they need to pay attention to. This guy writes puts pretty information. A dollar crash is virtually inevitable, Asian expert Stephen Roach warns. And this article made very good sense. The stronger dollar era may be on borrowed time. Stephen Roach, one of the world's leading authorities on Asia, is worried a changing global landscape paired with a massive U.S. budget deficit will spark a dollar crash. The U.S. economy has been afflicted with some significant macro imbalances for a long time, namely a few low domestic savings rates and chronic current account deficit, the former Morgan Stanley Asian chairman told CNBC's Trading Nation on Monday. The dollar is going to fall very, very sharply. His forecast calls for a 35% drop against other major currencies. And I'd say that's been conservative, but 35% drop, Melody, I mean, that's a huge drop compared to, I mean, to other currencies. And every nation has, and I know of, has fiat currencies. So ours is going to drop lower than their fiat currencies. Well, I think he's right. I certainly do, because they're spending money, no money, but they're spending money like it's air. There are no consequences to it. It's going to come back and bite us. Nations already don't want our dollar. They don't want a dollar any longer. It's not worth anything. It's world domination just about over, I do believe.
Well, there are consequences to what they're doing. And, you know, you just cannot service these financial markets to the manner in which they're being serviced and expect a good outcome. It's not normal. It's not a healthy system anymore. It's sick. It's broke. And all they can do is keep adding the tape and the glue to keep it functioning. There's no way, excuse me, there's no way out of this mess. If someone had a great idea, hey, come on, share it. But someone will bring me programs, things that you could do. We're too far gone. That's the problem. We're too far gone. If If these problems were addressed during the 2008, you know, we wouldn't be in this boat today. But again, until they fixed our fiat currency, there was only one place to go. There is only one place to go.
We really had a fiat currency at least since 1971, 50 years ago. It's been totally fiat. And at 60, up to 64, we had a little bit of value in a dollar. It was backed by silver. Then under Nixon, the last vestige of the dollar being backed by gold was taken away. So we've had a fiat currency. I know, backed by oil, petroleum, dollar, I know all that. But that was a temporary fix. It couldn't last. So our currency, our so-called money, has been fiat for 50 years. Mm-hmm. It has lost value every year. Now, how did I know that? Because I was alive back then. I got married in 71. Gas was a quarter a gallon. A gallon of milk was 48 cents. 12 loaves of bread for a dollar. Yeah, folks. You don't buy a loaf of bread today for a dollar. Not even one loaf, much less 12. So the currency, the money, has dropped in value. Prices have not risen because of scarcity. They've risen because of inflation and a dropping dollar. Gold in 1971 was $35 an ounce. Now it's over $1,700 an ounce. Now you go figure. What is the difference? Did gold all of a sudden become scarce and it's really hard to find? No, it's still there. But the dollar has lost its value. Now that is huge, Melody. And people need something. Think about this. Hanging on to cash and hoping to use it one day in the future because it's going to be worth more is absolutely insane. It loses value every day. Every day.
It does, because inflation is alive and well. Governments want inflation. They'll keep inflation. They need inflation. You hear various opinions, writings, and some are very, very good. They'll talk about we're going to be going into inflation, then deflation, stagflation. It doesn't matter which one they... Take your pick. The point is, the dollar, your purchasing power, will decline under all of these scenarios. Period. The amount of money that they're printing, and this time is a little bit different. What do you think $3 trillion going into an economy? You don't think that's going to be bumping up inflation and everything else and prices? I mean, it's insane, and they want to do more, another $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. There's going to be another $1 to $2 trillion in special funding, coronavirus spending. Heck, by the time we get over with these protests and everything else, I'm hearing that they want to do permanent UBI.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
For reparations.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's going to make their communities better, isn't it? I mean, don't these people think at all? So it's amazing, Butch. But you
it
know
is.
What? I just want to... Yeah, it's amazing.
It is.
So yes, your dollar is going to get weaker. Your purchasing power is going to decline. I don't care how much cash you have on hand. This is going to play itself out. The only blessing that we've had with having this fiat currency is because it's the world reserve currency. Probably 85 to 90% of the world's transactions are done in the dollar. But we don't have a really good relationship anymore. Look at the Saudis. You know, there wasn't there a report not too long ago that we were no longer being their military might?
Yep. That's right.
That relationship was being disconnected, and that was the whole point of the petrodollar. So, and with everything, China and North Korea are becoming stronger. Their bond is growing. They're flexing muscles. It's just a matter of time.
Well, you know, I guess I'll share this too, because you just brought a point here that I think is important. You're talking about China and North Korea. North Korea bombed inter Korean liaison office near border amid growing tension. Now, they actually bombed this, people. North Korea admitted Tuesday to bombing an inter Korean liaison office building just north of the border, with South Korea as tensions escalate on the Korean Peninsula. South Korea's Unification Ministry, which handles relations with North Korea, confirmed to NBC News that the liaison's office in North Korea border town of Kaesong was demolished by bombing on Tuesday afternoon local time. We confirmed that NK demolished the inter-Korean liaison office in Joseong International Complex by bombing at 1449 KST or 149 Eastern Time. South Korea's National Security Council has convened a meeting in the wake of the office's destruction, a spokesperson for the country's prison office told NBC News. So, North and South Korea may be on the verge of going back to war. I mean, that's what we need, another war. And, of course, the U.S. will be involved because I suppose we still back South Korea. With all the work that Trump supposedly did between North and South Korea, we thought some relationships were being built. But now North Korea says, we don't even want the office here. We don't want him to talk peace. We're going to bomb it. That's a pretty serious move. Now, it was on North Korean territory, obviously, but it was South Korean personnel there as a liaison office between the two countries. So that's almost an act of war, Melody.
Well, I mean, it's certainly saying it's an end to our relationship and discussions. And but what's interesting is it seems like Kim Jong-un's sister is becoming a little more out in the open and perhaps sharing perhaps some of those decisions and so forth. I don't know, but you do see her name and everything now when it comes to a lot to North Korea. So who knows? Don't know. But
that's
not a good sign.
She's more ruthless than her brother.
Seems that way.
So only time will tell, but we're getting awful close to something here. There's so much tension going on in the Middle East that we don't even hear about right now. But, you know, tension between Turkey and their neighbors is heating up. And India and China are having problems
India.
On the border. Yes, they're having trouble
China
on the border.
And
actually
India.
Fighting.
You had,
yes.
What, 50 military, Indian military killed?
Yes. Yes, it's heating up worldwide. I mean, again, Revelation 6, as the horseman has the power to take peace from the earth, and it certainly is spreading. In Matthew 24, Christ said, there will be wars and rumors of wars all over the world. It's actually happening on our watch. And if it escalates beyond just mere, I will say, skirmishes, it could be really a serious situation. We don't want worldwide war, especially nuclear war. And I don't know what's going to happen with that. No one's going to win a nuclear war. No one.
We're heading into a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about U.S. bank profits. They plunged. And we'll tell you how much. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. I told you going into the break that we were going to talk about the U.S. bank's profit plunged 70%. That's huge. 69.6% to $18.5 billion in the first quarter of 2020. And, of course, that was all due to the pandemic. The FDIC reported the deteriorating economic activity caused lenders to write off delinquent debt and set aside billions of dollars to guard against future losses. Over half of all banks reported a profit decline, and 7.3% of lenders were unprofitable. Now, this is the new report. It's the first government survey of the industry since the shutdown. Shows banks set aside $38.8 billion to cover potential loan losses. That was up nearly 280% from the year prior. Now, the amount of loans banks charged off as delinquent was up nearly 15%, driven by an 87% increase in charge-offs for commercial and industrial loans. I mean, these numbers are incredible. The amount of non-current loans rose 7.3% from the previous quarter. Now, guess again what year that has a common relationship to? 2010. So this is the biggest increase since 2010. And it just kind of cracks me up because the FDIC chairman, Jelena McWilliams, said the banks had been able to effectively serve clients in the downturn and were a source of strength for the economy. Really? Are you kidding me?
Melody, should I cry over this or not? I mean, I don't really feel sorry for them. I mean, you know.
Well, this isn't about feeling sorry for them. This is about what is coming.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, the banks.
I'm not shedding a tear, but these people are part of the problem.
They are.
A lot of them caused
the.
They caused the problems that we have.
Yes. Yes, they've been bailed out. How many times have they been bailed out in the past already? And the little guys like you and I end up with nothing. In 2008, 2009, they did the same thing. 2010, the banks were bailed out. We were left holding the bag, so to speak. I don't want to see anyone lose jobs or go out of business. That's not my point. Point of it is, they've made out like bandits with every crisis. So if this actually happened to them, then it's about their turn to take a little beating once in a while, too.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, this is the condition of these banks, and they don't do the stress tests anymore. The regulations have been unlimited with them.
Yeah,
they've changed
they
them all
to.
Going through this pandemic.
Yep.
So, yeah, people, do you feel confident with your money sitting in the banks? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, basically, all the lobbies, I don't even know if the lobbies of the banks have opened yet. I'm assuming they have.
They haven't. They haven't here.
But they've been closed. I mean, that's kind of like a partial closing of banks. You can't go into the lobby without an appointment. You can only go through the drive-through. Don't you think that's a little bit like conditioning? Well, okay, well, yeah, I have to go through the drive-through, you know. No. I mean, they were closed. It's and that's what's going to happen in the future. Heck, if they did close, nobody would really pay any attention because they just figured it was, you know, normal. This is all conditioning of the people.
That's a good point. Very good point. You can get us to accept.
You've got to take care of your own money.
Yes, you do.
Nobody else is going to do it for you. Everybody wants your money. So they're going to tell you anything that they think you're going to want to hear.
But that's a novel thought today, Melody. Taking care of yourself, being responsible for yourself, that's almost a novel thought. People in this country have not been trained for years to take care of themselves. I mean, if they can't do it, then mom and dad do it, or the government will do it. But who's been taught that they're responsible for their actions? That's almost a thing of the past. And that's just a sad thing to say, but it really is true. No one's been taught that we have to make sure that we feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and house ourselves, because if we get to buy them, we just go see a welfare office.
It just shows the lack of education when it comes to money.
It is. But when you've been taught all your life, though, that somebody will take care of you, you get in a bind, don't worry about it.
Yep.
That makes somebody kind of lackadaisical and their concerns for their future. Mm-hmm. I'll worry about the retirement. I'll just get on welfare. I mean, that's been the attitude. A lot of people I know personally have that attitude. They're not worried about it. I'll just get on welfare.
If you wait long enough, you'll get UBI.
There you go.
It just baffles me. What world are we living in?
It's mind conditioning. It is brainwashing. You and I went through some of the same aspects growing up also, but not to this point. It's taken them generations to get here, but we're here. And it is the mindset of people that we have no responsibility for anything other than getting out of bed in the morning and breathing. As a whole, people just don't see it any different anymore.
And protest.
Exactly. Or let's burn down a Wendy's, whatever, you know. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I would like to share a couple articles here because I think these are interesting. This is, again, about the virus and what's going on here. Now, I've been hearing stories back and forth, and I don't know what to tell you what's going to happen. I don't, but according to CDC, there's going to be a second wave of the virus, worse than the first. That's what the CDC is saying. But on the other hand, the World Health Organization says there will be no second wave. Now, both these are supposed to be leading authorities on health, the World Health Organization, CDC. I don't know. Is it going to happen or not going to happen? I really don't know. But so what? Both these two so-called authorities are arguing back and forth about one way or the other. I hope the WHO is right, but we'll have to wait and see. But this I do know. Now, this is absolutely absurd, Melody. Colorado has brought forth a bill that requires re-education for parents who refuse the coronavirus vaccine. Now, this is for real happening. Are you ready for re-education camps in the United States? Colorado has introduced a bill that would re-educate parents who refuse to vaccinate their child with the corona vaccines. The bill forces all doctors and medical staff to give vaccinations with no exemptions, even if they are in a situation where they believe it would not be in that child's best interest. The bill's current version, however, does not list any sanctions or punishment for medical staff that refuse. So anyway, the work on the bill in Colorado, that if you don't give your children the shot, you're going to be re-educated. That is kind of scary. I mean, isn't that what they did in communist Russia and China? Re-educate?
Yeah, that's a scary term, re-educate.
That is absolutely unbelievable. Now, Beijing residents are rounded up and put in quarantine. The city goes back into lockdown. And new travel bans are introduced to stop new extremely severe coronavirus outbreak. China reported 40 more coronavirus infections on Tuesday. Like 40 out of how many billion people? But anyway, with 27 in Beijing as parts of the city lockdown. One scientist has warned the new strain of the virus could be more infectious, believing it came from Europe. Officials have been fencing off parts of the city, with some in total lockdown while mass testing has resumed. The outbreak has been linked with a food wholesale market called Xianfade, which see thousands of visitors. So, I don't know, but they are forcing them in the quarantine. I mean, they don't in China. They don't ask you, "Would you please stay home?" They just lock you in your house. You stay there. They said footage shows officials in hazmat suits barking orders through the megaphone while people line up in queues and pack into buses amid fears that a second wave of virus causes is about to hit the country. Activist Jennifer Zing, who posted the footage, claims that even that seven hotels were requisitioned as quarantine sites when people with people rounded up in an all-day operation after an outbreak linked to the Yin Fadi wholesale market. So in China, they're just rounding them up, putting them in motels, and say, you're going to stay here. With an outbreak of 40 people, how many billion people in China? I forgot.
There's
27 people. 27 people, and we're going to shut down the city. And the people, when China, we go along too, sadly. But China has less resistance, I think, than we do even here in America. So, but coronavirus said it may soon sway the regulators in casinos to let the casinos no longer use cash. You know, in most casinos, it's against the law to use anything but cash to gamble with. But now it looks like they may do away with cash. In the casinos, you can gamble with credit cards or whatever. But Melody, if cash is eventually done away with, that is our last bit of way that we can do anything in private transactions is cash. Oh, we could barter. If you have gold and silver, you can even do better. But as far as normal average citizen, cash is the last anonymous way for me to buy something for a neighbor. You know, I don't know what it may be, a wheelbar or a gun, whatever. That's the last anonymous way to do it. Anything that's done on credit cards or cell phones is tracked and monitored and traced, of course. So, of course, they would do it with cash. Cash is a sign, a little bit of freedom left, is it not?
You know, it is. But, I mean, we're almost cashless anyway. But, you know, there's been some countries who've experimented trying to eliminate cash, and it can't be done. You need to have a little cash floating around out there. But I'd say we're basically cashless anyway. I mean, most of your casinos now, I mean, you can get paid in cash. So they'll eliminate that. But, I mean, yeah, you can put your dollar bills in and so forth, but it's not a far step from, you know, paying the cashier where you get your little credit card to where you can gamble on your credit card till it goes to zero. And so if they just, it really is about control. It really is.
Oh, it is. It is. And this didn't start just last week.
No, it didn't.
I mean, 35 years ago, Marshall was in Chicago.
Virus.
Oh, no, long before that. 35 years ago, Marshall and I were in Chicago. I paid for a motel room with cash. They did not want the money. They wanted credit card. I said, I don't do credit card. It's been a long time ago. I don't have a credit card. I pay cash. I don't know what they had to do to get it done. They finally took it, but they weren't pleased us paying cash for the motel room. That's been a long time ago. Have you ever tried to pay for a motel room in cash nowadays? It's really odd. You still got to show them your ID and who you are, and you can't reserve a room with, when you say, I'll pay cash and get there. You have to reserve with a credit card. So cash has been kind of shoved to the side for a long time.
It has, for a long time. It used to be if you paid cash, you'd get discounts. Now if you pay with cash, they penalize you. You get charged more. But that's a fact.
So locally here, by the grace of God, I do most of my business in cash, and I do get discounts. I do, because I do pay cash. I don't care if somebody working on a home or whatever it is. Most of them will take cash and give me a little discount. But that isn't going to be everywhere. Obviously, I'm blessed in that manner. But some places just simply do not want cash, and it's kind of frustrating because I always thought cash is a way of privacy, a little bit of privacy.
Now gold is your privacy because that's the real
it
cash.
Is.
That's the real
yes,
money.
Is. Yep.
You don't have Precious privacy metals. In today's world unless you have gold and silver.
That's very, very true. Very true. You go ahead. I'll shut up a minute. I didn't mean to take over.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the virus, and you know, there was the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, and, you know, they're keeping quiet about who got the loans. Well, they released four members of Congress were able to get the small business loans.
Yes.
And, you know, I guess to some degree you can say, well, they're business people too, and they have employees, so if they qualified. I don't know, I'm trying to justify it, ladies and gentlemen, but there was Republicans on the list include Representative Roger Williams of Texas. He's a wealthy businessman who owns auto dealerships, body shops, car washes. It's like, pay your own money. Take some of your savings, the billions of dollars that you've made, and pay your employees instead of getting money from the government that you're supposed to be working for. Good grief. There is also Representative Vicki Hartzler of Missouri. Her family owns multiple farms and equipment suppliers across the Midwest. Democrats count Rep. Susie Lee of Nevada, whose husband is the CEO of a regional casino developer, and Representative Debbie Mucarcel Powell of Florida, whose husband is an executive at a restaurant chain that has since returned the loan. That was probably Ruth Chris, because I know they returned their money. I don't know that, but anyway, they did return it. So, you know there's more. But only the Small Business Administration and the Treasury Department have that information. And this administration is refusing to provide any details. That's irritating.
It is. And you made a point, yeah, they have businesses. I agree. But it's still, that's a bitter pill to swallow. It really is.
Like the little slush fund that they have. The millions of dollars of slush funds that they use to pay off all their little secret interludes with various professional women. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just really irritating. You know what, if they did a good job in D.C., and we didn't know they weren't as corrupt as they were, and they were just, and we didn't know that they were the crooks that they are, maybe I wouldn't feel so irritated. But what do they do? What have they done? It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Why don't they get their loans from their little lobbyist buddies? Oh, I'm sorry, that money goes into their pockets. Excuse me. Anyway.
Oh, you're being too honest now.
Anyway, what's next?
Well, thought we'd go to break here, but I just said U.S. slumps to the 10th spot in the world in competitiveness rankings. Yeah. The United States shrunk from 1 to 2 last year. Now it's dropped from 2 all the way down to 10 on being competitive in the world. It's really something that America dropped that far. But it's because of trade wars with China. It's an increased uncertainty in business, whatever, and it's a factor weighing on both countries. It may be, but to drop from 1 to 2 and then going from 2 to 10, that's a huge drop.
Where are we going to be next year?
That's exactly right.
We'll be right back, though, in just a few minutes.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. I broke down and bought some Silver Eagles. I went against my own boycott. I just wanted to see what the length of time it would take to get them in here, see if there's any delays. And supposedly there's no delays. I'm still like $3-4 cheaper than anybody else online. So, I mean, we can give them to you. Wholesale cost is what's really the hefty number. But if you're looking for some, we do have a few. But for the most part, I still would like to, I mean, I get 100 calls a day for people wanting Silver Eagles, so I had to break down.
Well, how much are they now per eagle?
I'm looking at about $24.
That's quite a jump.
It's premium. It's wholesale premium.
Wow. And that being because of shortage or what?
It's better than the $28 and $29 on other dealers' websites.
I agree. But is it because the shortage is still on, or why is this? Is there still a shortage of eagles?
I don't think it's a shortage per se. I think it's the wholesalers and a couple of online. I don't know this for sure. Maybe I do, but I'm just saying I can't say that on air, so I'm not sure. I think they took over the market, and that's why I said if we didn't buy, eventually the prices would come down. But when demand is that strong and people want to pay that, I mean, I have to give in a little bit, so this is sort of a test. So we have them here, but
when
it's
you
not
think
because
come
of
down
a
again?
Shortage. Pardon?
When do you think they'll come down again? Or will they?
Well, another way that we can, boycotting is one thing, but if I can get them and continue to beat the price of everybody else online, that'll help too. That'll help bring the premiums down.
So,
you
bring
some competition.
Is,
so far, there's been no competition because they've all been selling at the same price.
But this is artificially made. This is artificial inflation, so to speak, right?
I believe so.
Wow. You know, you're a very rare dealer that will tell the truth on that. Most people will be scarfing up all the profits they get right now.
So let's provide some competition and see if we can't get these prices lowered. So, 800-375-4188. I'm working on it.
Good for you. Good for you.
What's next?
Well, a poll here by AP out of St. Petersburg, Florida says, Americans are the unhappiest they've been in 50 years. And I got to make a comment here. I am not by any means an Abraham Lincoln fan. Not even a little bit. But to say, you're about as happy as you make up your mind to be. And I think that's true a lot of times. It's been a rough year for the American psyche. Folks in the U.S. are more unhappy today than they've been in nearly 50 years. This bold yet unsurprising conclusion comes from the COVID response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago. It finds that just 14% of Americans at all say they're very happy, down from 31% in 2018. That year, 23% said they'd often or sometimes felt isolated in recent weeks. Now 50% say that. And I guess stay-at-home orders, like isolate from families and everything, I can see that would bother. Obviously, it has. My gosh. Suicide rates are up. Domestic violence is up. Even child murders are up. Children being killed by their parents. I mean, yeah, I can see that this pressure can cause some things, but I guess I'm just a little different than people. We all get frustrated, Melody. We all get sometimes have down days. That's just being people, that's all. But happiness should not depend on circumstances. It should be that we're here for a purpose. If we understand by God's grace we're here for a purpose, life is not empty. It may be unhandy at times and frustrating at times. We all go through this. But knowing that if we really believe there is a God in heaven and we're His people and we're here for a purpose, that gives us a reason to get out of bed in the morning. So unhappiness, I can see that. I can understand maybe some reasons why it would happen. But it's also a state of mind, how much you'll let it happen to you personally. And you need to look at the reason that we're here. You know, there's a reason why we're alive today. I don't believe in the evolution of chance. We're here for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And I want to try to find that purpose.
But you know what? We're giving people again. I mean, through TV, through videos, through, you know, Hollywood. Happiness is what they have created that we're all supposed to be. And we will never match. Most people won't have that type of happiness defined in their realm of reality. Is that true? I mean, so yeah, I could see why, you know, we're trying, you know, it's kind of like keeping up with the Joneses to some degree. I mean, stop. There's a lot of people that can't do the Joneses. Just be who, you know, your family and your God, and, you know, that's what makes you happy. And I don't know, so there's a set of circumstances that everyone is trying to reach, and I don't know if it's reachable or not. Is it, Butch?
Well,
you're the preacher.
If you live under the circumstances, and I've heard people say, well, I'm doing okay in the circumstances, and I understand that point, I truly do, but we're living creations of a holy God, and yes, life can be a blow. I mean, I'm telling you now, life can be hard. No one promises, you know, an easy way to go, but the joy and peace, the Bible tells me, the joy and peace that I have, the world didn't give me, the world can't take it away. Happiness can be temporary, up and down. I understand that. But joy and peace should be something that's permanent, because it comes from Christ if you're a born-again believer. And put this in perspective. As a younger fellow, you know, last year, when I was back in my teens and in early 20s, I remember seeing movie stars, especially some of the ladies. I don't remember a lot of their names, but you know, they were gorgeous, gorgeous ladies, young ladies, and you know, they were fans. They were all, you said, they showed the standard of happiness, and then we find out a lot of them commit suicide and they're murdered. And I look now at some of the ones that were symbols of sex symbols, and back in the 60s and 70s, if they're still alive, they're old and wrinkled up. Folks, life, the physical part of life that we say makes us happy, is very temporary. Youth is fleeting. Wealth can come and go. But it's how you live your life that matters. It's how you treat your family and your friends. It's integrity, the honesty you have. It's the morality in your life that you have with others. It's showing the love for others that you have that makes a difference. That's what makes a real difference. You're not going to stay young forever. And things can happen in your life that can change circumstances. But your life, your soul, doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and God as your Father and leading your life. If you're living your life from day to day in a physical world, that's all you have, you really are miserable, because that can change so quickly, overnight. But look around at people that you knew when you were growing up, Melody, that were, we'll say, movie stars, men, male and female both. If they're still alive, they got old. They lost that. Lee Majors is a good example. Or those, you know, that
Tom Selleck still looks pretty good.
He still looks pretty good for an old fella, I guess. Okay, but anyway, but seriously, things do change physically. So we got to get our mind off these physical situations and our eyes on spiritual situations, and understand that we live, the spiritual world is a lot more real than the physical world. The physical world is going to end, but the spiritual side isn't. We have to understand that. So to get you through the rough times in the physical world, knowing that this is on temporary. Whether it's good or bad, it's on temporary. That's what I look at. And I have to admit, there are days I get frustrated and aggravated. I'm only a man, Milly. I'm not super anything. I'm just a man. And I get aggravated with things happening and angry about things, and there's nothing wrong with being angry. I just won't let it control me. You know, the Bible says that the Bible talks about righteous anger, but he says don't go to sleep angry, because that turns into bitterness, that turns into hatred, and that's what makes you sick inside, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Don't let that control you that way. But people are too much wrapped up in what they see physically, and their life depends on that, and that shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. You know, when I think about you and Todd and others I work with, that's my blessings, to know that I have people out there that actually are friends and actually are like family now, and I try to treat them like they treat me, and they treat me good. So that makes my life bearable. You know, I have people like you and others in my life that are there, and that's what makes life good. It's not what you have, it's the relationship you have with other people. That's very important. Now, that's my sermon for the day, no charge.
Okay. Speaking of relationships, what do you think about, John Bolton? He's going to have his first interview this weekend about the book that he wrote. And President Trump said John Bolton will have a strong criminal problem if he publishes the tell-all book. There's another book that's being released later on this year in a couple months, if not soon, from President Trump's niece.
Yes.
That goes into details about the family. And I don't know. Do you think that can hurt his chances?
You mean for election?
For election, if we have one?
No. I don't. If we have one, I don't think so. I don't believe so. I think the base he has is going to be his base no matter what he does. Mm-hmm. Now, it may sway some other people along the way, but I don't think so. And to be quite honest with you, I know there's some. Biden has a base also. That no matter what he does or doesn't do, it's going to stay
the
same.
That's true.
Okay, so I don't know for sure. I just know that if these are the only choices we have, we are in sorry shape. And that's all we have. So we're in sorry shape.
And, I wouldn't pay too much attention to Bolton's book. But the one that I was interested in is the niece's book. I think that one is different for some reason. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. But yeah, I wouldn't pay any attention to John Bolton's book, because he's an elite from, day one, a warmonger and everything else, and he didn't get his way, and he went home crying to mommy and everything. But the niece is an inside story. And I would think the majority of that would be true. Although families do lie. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. That's all I can say on that. Yeah. I don't know. But we're talking about situations, and you probably saw this article too, that Hong Kong, a lot of people in Hong Kong are leaving Hong Kong because they're afraid of what's coming to Hong Kong. You probably saw that.
Yes.
Fearing a reign of terror, Hong Kong families are preparing to flee. This article says her father, Gao Yao, fled forced labor and the violent purges of the Cultural Revolution for a better life in Hong Kong, where he arrived with his wife in 1973 to find relative freedom and prosperity. Years later, as the family watched the ceremony marking Hong Kong's 1997 handover from Britain to China, his then teenage daughter had a premonition. I thought to myself, maybe one day we'll have to run away from Chinese Communist Party again, said Lo Young, now 36. I just didn't imagine it would be this soon. Now, 17 years after the death of her father, 17 years after her father, whose name means glory to the nation in Mandarin, Leung is preparing to flee Hong Kong. A new law approved by the Communist Party to take effect this summer will allow China's powerful state security agencies to operate in the territory, paving the way for political purges and intimidation of government critics by secret police. Officials are pushing to impose party propaganda in schools. With their political freedoms deteriorating, nurses, lawyers, business people, and other skilled workers are rushing to renew documents that could provide a pathway to residency in Britain or finding ways to immigrate to Taiwan, Canada, or Australia. So, it's just not, it isn't just here things are changing rapidly, it's there. And I did, and I'll share this, I don't know what's going to be, maybe nothing, but have you heard any scuttlebutt that soon in this country they'll be trying to take out conservative talk show or news broadcasters. I guess they already started with some of them, actually taking away their sponsorship and trying to shut them down. Have you been hearing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
They've already been
censoring from Facebook and, you know, all these other places, Twitter so forth. So, you know, why wouldn't you see it filtered down? But, you know, it's... And that's what I often said, you know, I mean, sometimes there's things I want to say, but I don't, because I don't want to be thrown off the air. You can still say it in a manner that's not going to get you kicked off the air, but I don't know. You would think that's just going to come, Butch. I mean, that's just...
Well, it's already started. I think you're right. The purge has already started. It has already started.
Yeah.
And talk show hosts who dare, excuse me, or even preachers who dare preach the way it is, are going to be considered haters and racist and bigots or whatever. I've been called a lot of names myself. So I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see what happened in China and now in Hong Kong start happening in the United States. Dissenting voices will not be tolerated.
Yep.
I think
we're going to have a social rating system.
I agree. Totally agree.
Yep. We're out of time. It was a great hour. I enjoyed it today, Butch.
I did too.
We'll be back tomorrow. Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen will be here. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.